Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our mind and our hearts, Lord, as we come to your word, Lord, that you make it alive, Lord, that you make it effective and powerful, Lord, as it is, Lord, that we may be opening our heart to hear it and receive it and put it to work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to connect from the things, you know, from Easter message that was talking about the power of resurrection that Jesus made available for us. Really, that's so important to understand that what took place on the cross 2,000 years ago is more than sufficient for anything that we may ever need. But we have to receive that by faith. There is no other way. Everything that we receive from God, I say that all the time, everything that we receive from God is by faith. You know, and that covers everything. You know, if you go to this Isaiah prophecy in Isaiah 53, you know, says, surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. Yeah, we esteem him stricken, plagued, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. So, you know, here is the word healed. There is Rapha in Hebrew. And actually what it means, you know, just not just healed. Okay, it's made whole, spirit, soul, and body. It takes care of everything that we have. And then to reinforce it, the following verses, you know, we all like sheep have gone astray. We made everyone to his own way. And Jehovah, or God, you know, meet, you know, our iniquity through him for us all. Hallelujah. So this is really taking care. Everybody's, every iniquity, every sin, every problem, everything in the whole world. For every person, in one shot, in one time, in one deal, he fixed everything if we receive it. We have a part we play in receiving it. You know, he did everything that he could give so that we can get what we need. But we have played a part in receiving and getting it from him, okay? But to realize, you know, how is a spiritual event was not just a physical thing there. The physical part was secondary. It was just a physical manifestation. But what's happening in the spirit world was so powerful to take care of everything. And when he said he's finished, he meant it. That means, you know, everything that he had to do was done. And the thing that makes a difference is when we start believing, you know, that he's finished. Because if we don't believe that he's finished, he's still open. He's not finished. But when we know that he's finished, then the only thing that remains, we don't need to go to God to ask for anything. We have to receive what he has done. And we have to believe in what he has done. That is, you know, Jesus said it all the time. According to your faith, be done unto you. So the fact that we really, you know, three words are enough. If we grasp on three words, it makes all the difference for eternity for us. The fact that it says it is finished are three words. But the fact that he said that is that's what has to be finished for us too. And we have to believe that what he did once in, 2,000 years ago is as powerful today as it was powerful that particular day, and it is powerful for every how many billions of people on earth have been around I mean, that shows the power that is imparted, that was produced for us, the ability that that action has on everything. I mean, this is not less than when God says, let there be the world. Because it's the same power. And that was released that day. You know, and in John chapter 1, verse 12 says very clearly, you know, but as many, I didn't have this morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, no, I have yet to say this scripture. And I'm going to say it today. But as many as received him, to them he gave him the right to become children of God and to believe, to those who believe in his name. So you see, to them that believe that is what happens. This power is being generated, produced, made available to us for the things that we need, for healing, for deliverance, for salvation, for everything, for forgiveness, for breaking through anything, any bondage that we have. Are you still there? Can you still sit down? I mean, if you grasp what I'm saying, you know, you should have a glory fit. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's why I thought that I was going to talk about this today, because, you know, sometimes for Easter service, you just have enough time to cover just the basics. You cannot get into some of the things that are instead so important to grasp, to be able to receive the things, you know, unless you, another scripture they gave me this morning, but I'm going to give it later. Okay. But really, the greatest miracle that has ever happened takes place for us when we simply believe in his name. That means believe what he has done, believe what he has produced for us. Just that decision to believe releases all the power. Somebody's getting it. Amen. I mean, instantaneously. Hallelujah. So, and he made, him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. See, that's what makes that we had to come to realize. That is what we had to come to receive. And if we receive it today, you know, if you have never grasped that, connect with that power that is available for you, for me, for everyone. But as we saw even last week, you know, it's a progressive appropriation, because we had to fix our heart, you know, the beliefs and the assumptions and the judgment that we have in our heart, the blocks that does not allow the power of God to go through. Because that's the only thing that stops it. See how actually powerful we are to be able to block that, all that power. Now, you know, we have to understand. See, if we don't understand, if we don't know, we can't receive, because you cannot exercise your faith in abstract. I believe God. The devil believes God too and tremble. So not just believing God is not enough. You have to believe the things that God wants to give us, that God has provided for us. We have to believe so that we can be exercising our faith. Our faith has to do with specific things, not in general. But God is big, God is everything. So what? What is to you? What can do for you? What it means for you? You know, and there was a scripture that also this morning I got it, I had to to my notes, you know, it's Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So he's telling something very important for us to understand. There is a lot in Deuteronomy, actually. Lots of ideas that makes a difference. Lots of principles. And this principle is, first of all, you know, that these things are to be revealed to us. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals truth or principles to us. Okay, but then just to know the revealed knowledge is not enough. We have to apply them ourselves. We have to be conscious in applying them to our life. If we don't apply it, you don't believe that you're saved, that you are your sins are forgiven, you go around feeling guilty. Are you still there? If you don't know that God wants to heal you, you go around sick and you're begging God to heal you when instead he has done it already, you have to receive it. So that's the thing that we have to understand so that we can take a position and know what is ours. Not only that, but doesn't stop there. It says, you know, so that we and our children and, you know, and forever and ever we are going to have. So that means, you know, that we do not have to know things, but we have to pass on to others. In the secret that we have discovered, we have to share with others so that they can benefit from what we have received. If we don't do these things get lost. And this is what happened to much, you know, of early church that they, you know, got lost for 2,000 years. We need to understand, you know, the understanding has to be there. And that comes from our connection with the Holy Spirit. So the people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit today, they're going to see that the scripture are going to be open to you in a way they weren't open before. Speaking tongues, even if are just a few words to begin with, that's what babies do. That's the way we get charged up. That's the way our battery gets charged up. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me go back to what I was saying before. The resurrection power is available to us. To each believer, especially when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. In Romans 8:11, says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Okay, that is the promise. That is the truth. That is what is available to you. But it's activated by faith. See, by believing, by knowing, first of all, and believing and applying it to yourself. If you don't apply it to yourself, if you are there, you know, wondering, then nothing is going to happen. Okay. And that power that I said before, you know, you can see there's so many places in the Bible that shows how great that thing is. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says that what is the exceedingly greatness of his power toward us who believe. So people, Christians go around feeling weak and defeated. Shouldn't be that is contrary to any spiritual principle that you can think of. We should recognize, we have to understand and exercise our faith in that dimension, because it's an exceedingly greatness of his power toward us who believe. So he's working in us according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised them from the dead and seated them at his right hand in heavenly places. So this is the power that is inside, working inside us. What can stop that power from anything? What's the resistance? It's just our heart. Our heart is the gatekeeper. I mean, it must be pretty powerful too, don't you think, to resist that. I continue here. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named into this age and also in the one which is to come. And then, but it doesn't stop there. You see, it just reinforces it, just, you know, pushes it in. Okay. And he put all things at his feet, which he gave him to be the head, all things were the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So you see, it's not just part of it. There is the fullness of him available, which is his body, the fullness of him. Praise the Lord. So that's what we should understand. We should apply to ourselves what we should believe in a faithful. That's why we should understand that we can take a position by faith. Faith is nothing else than a decision. It's the decision to believe the word of God and to stand firm on there until you really end up believing it. Until, because at the beginning it seems too far-fetched and too big. The thing is, as you make that decision and take a stand, you know, finally that becomes you in all the different areas. And you start exercising that authority, that right to be child of God. But you cannot have one foot in and one foot out. You cannot be mixing the world at the same time as being in the kingdom of God. See, doesn't work. There is contradiction. They are fighting one with against the other. Okay. All right. So, you know, in Ephesians 3:20, you know, expanded even more. Says, for now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, or, you know, another translation, imagine. So he can do more than what you ask and think. See, our asking and thinking are the limit, you know, especially the thinking part is the limiting factor, is what put the stop, you know, put the lid on the power. And so our thinking has to change. You're still there. Okay, this is important for you to actually understand, appreciate, and start applying. See, without application, you know, if you are not a doer of the word, you are deceiving yourself. You are playing religion. Playing religion doesn't get you anywhere. You want to get results. God wants you, Jesus wants you to get results because he went through all that so that you could get results. Praise the Lord. You know, understanding Christianity from all the other beliefs people have is important, because that's the only way you are going to be able to break through. You know, you have to know where you stand. Okay. The thing is, you know, God has his way of doing things. Okay. God is a planner. He plans things to the detail. He is a super planner, and everything else is planned from the very beginning and is already planned for the things that are going to happen in the future. And the way you can see that is just by reading the Bible. Because he there talks about things that happen after that he said. See, all the prophetic work that you say, the Bible is practically mostly prophecy. This is the only book that is practically everything about prophecy, about things that should happen, or things that will happen, or things that will happen to you when you do certain things. But it's always prophetical. See, this is prophecy. It's nothing else than speaking what God says by somebody else that says it. But the Bible is full of that kind of expressions. Okay? It's full of that foretelling. And this is why this is so important. Okay? In the Bible, the prophetic principle that is manifested in the Bible is very important for us. Number one, to give us a basis on which we are believing. I mean, everything that happened was all everything described, even, you know, take all the prophecies about Jesus. You know, if you want to see anything. Hundreds of prophecies about Jesus already happened. And the one that haven't happened is because he's coming the second time. So just on that basis should be, you know, forget about all this, what these people say, that they don't know anything, that they didn't even read the Bible and put it down, you know, but we should know better just by seeing what says about things that took place and are taking place right now. See, when we say that, there is nothing that we should be there doubting. We should not doubt, we should not be confused, we should not be, you know, wondering what's going to happen next. What we have to know is be able to get into what the word says, because that's our origin, that's the way, the source of our information, by which we can discern, distinguish the things that we see around, understand what's going on, okay? But really, you know, this is basic, and Jesus said that. You know, in when after his resurrection, if you remember, in Luke chapter 24, you know, he was walking, you know, and there were two disciples walking on the way to Emmaus, you know, and they were going around the way, and they were confused. They were wondering what was all these things that are happening around. Okay. And, you know, let me read here from Luke 24, verse 25 and 26. It says, you know, Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones." See, he just, that's the way he indirect somebody that is there wondering about things. You know, they were wondering about what's going on. These strange things that are said there. They said that some people said he's resurrected. Or, you know, and these were supposedly believers following the disciples. You know, "Oh, you foolish of heart and slow of heart." You see, the thing is, the key thing is the heart. See, the heart is what blocks us from actually being able to believe and to receive, because it's fixed already. We have the, you know, established what we believe and what we don't believe in there. Okay. So it's slow of heart to believe all that is the prophet have spoken. So you see, Jesus refers to the prophets that, you know, look at the prophet said it. What's the matter with you that don't believe? I mean, I should say that to some minister that don't believe in the resurrection. Well, they haven't saved, evidently, because that's what the Bible says. Are you following what I'm saying? See, Jesus said the basis for us to actually be a solid ground in which we are is what was written before. It was prophesied and took place. And we can know, according to that, what's going to take place. It says, ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Okay, so everything was spoken of, but they were just all upset, some of them, because Jesus being crucified. His attitude was completely different. Okay. And the only way, you know, even when he was talking to them, they were still confused. Until he broke the bread, and when he was doing that, the Holy Spirit hit them. He released the power of God as he was doing something that was according to what he said he would do and bring into remembrance, and they saw him for who he was. They discerned he was, and he just disappeared in front of them. That's the way spiritual things happen. And there is no difference 2,000 years ago or today. You know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. So that's not any reason to believe that, you know, now the gifts are non-operation. Where did you get that? Hello? So, you know, the word says very clearly in Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." So everything that's happening is revealed before. Okay? This is very important to understand. So we can look at prophecies in the Bible as one of the sources for us to give us stability. See, one of the purposes of God, God is a planner. And when you plant things properly, then you are stable. You know what's going to happen. You're not there wondering. You're not there afraid. You're nowhere anything because you follow your plan. Well, God's plan, he established the plan from the beginning. Everything that he did is planned to the subatomic detail. Okay? I mean, in the physical. And it's not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual. Okay. Another place in which Source talks about the same thing, you know, about how we important prophecy is for us. Okay. In 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, and as they went about, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, hear me, O Judah, O inhabitant of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. See, the thing is, what the prophets did, tell the things that are going to come so you know what to do and to prepare for yourself. Now, but Jesus said, be aware of false prophets. So that means that you have to be careful what you listen to. But when it's the Bible, you are sure that they are confident. You get confidence in what is said there. Okay? Because that was, you know, is what God sent to us. Okay. In Matthew 24:24 says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So that means, you know, how deceptive these things is going to be. That people are going to believe even, you know, very elect. That means, you know, born again, spirit-filled believer are going to be sucked in by this deception that the enemy puts up through these false prophets. They are special emissary of the enemy. Okay? They're used by him. Okay? Well, you know, if you look at today's prophetic movement, it's not the same thing as the prophets in the Bible. I don't care what they say. The prophet in the Bible, if they prophesy and they were wrong, they should be stoned. Today, they make the theology that it's okay not to be right. But then if you have to okay to be right, shut up. That's my point. Because you are not the same thing as the prophets of the Old Testament. If you go by the rule of the Bible, then I listen to you. If you don't go by the rule of the Bible, then it's your man's ideas and your theology, not what the Bible says. And I don't care what they are. Nobody came up. All the prophets movement of today, nobody came and said about what was going to happen with COVID. Anyone, not one person. What's wrong? To me, it's a sign of a problem. If we like it to accept it or not, doesn't make any difference. If you go by them, that's what happens. That's what you're going to expect. Now, the result of that, okay, is that God doesn't work that way. When God said something, it's going to happen. God doesn't think and produce confusion. Okay? He's not, and this is another principle that I want to stress today, is God's order principle. I talked before about the principle of the prophetic principle, you know, the fact that we have to understand prophecy is important, but you have to do it in the right context with the right discernment. Okay, that's the number one. And the second one is the, you know, the order principle of God. God is an orderly God. God, when God starts working in you, your life should be getting stabilized. He brings order. He brings peace. See, the word peace includes all these things. It includes success, include the ability to not to be tossed around by the things around you, include, you know, the question of having even physical peace. You know, but the word shalom in the Old Testament indicates all these things, including salvation. See, salvation should bring to us a peaceful life, rested life. You rest in the Lord. He provides for you. He is your shepherd. You know, sheep don't need to be afraid of wolves because they have a shepherd there with the stick that is going to protect them. Unless they go on their own field, and then it's their problems. Are you still with me? Okay. So, you see, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, God is not an order of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So the idea is, you know, the confusion is atakastasia, which actually means, you know, instability. It means disorder. So God is not the order of instability or confusion. As we get closer to God, we have to become standing on solid rock. Nothing is going to move us anymore. Why? Because we know our house is built on the rock, not on sand. All right? So we have peace with us. And we can see that order, that stability in all these physical laws that control the physical world. And the same order is in the spiritual laws. And we can see that to the most, you know, to the down to the microscopic level, to the atomic level. Everything is orderly. And he invented, put together all these things. Just look at your body. You are wonderfully made. And the way you function, you know, doesn't matter. The doctor don't have a clue the way we function. They have just some very superficial understanding and changes every 5 years. And things that before were, you know, the law, then they recognized they were really stupid. Like they're taking off the tonsils of people. They were producers, you know, to protect them from sore throat when they needed to, you know, build up their immune system. And so what they do, they damage them for life. And they think they did the right, something is right. Forget it. See, God knows what he did with us. He created us perfectly. And the enemy comes and mess up things. And as soon as the order gets messed up, we get sick. Why? Because there is no order. See, God's presence brings order, brings peace, brings growth, productivity, stability, success, everything. Just see Psalm 1, you know, everything you do shall prosper. Not because you are trying to get millions of dollars. It's because you do the right thing and you are focused on the right stuff. He's not talking about money there. And it needs involved even that, but that's not it. Okay. I don't think I will cover today. I thought that I would. Everything, that's fine. So everything in creation. Okay. When God created the world, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, after he done some of the work there, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. It wasn't flawed. So the evening and the morning and the sixth day. So the laws of nature are perfect, orderly, stable. Okay. And what he does that. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't have plan A and plan B. It's only plan A. In fact, if you don't go according to plan A, you don't get anywhere with him. So people say, well, why is not working? Why, you know, well, are you going to according to plan A? According to his way? That's what makes things work. Because he doesn't compromise. He's always the same. Jesus Christ is the same always today and forever. God doesn't change. Was the same in the Old Testament, is in the New Testament, the same thing are operating, just better understanding we have now, so we should get better results. Indeed, we do. when we understand. I could read lots of things about, you know, showing about, you know, God order in creation was there, but I'm going to skip that. Okay. But you say, for example, the way God created us, or the parallel of that, how God designed the tabernacle or the temple. It wasn't just, was specifically every detail that had to be done in a certain way so that his plan was fulfilled. And the reason is, you know, that has a spiritual symbolism in it. Okay. That's the way it is, was trying to teach people that there is order in everything he does. And so what we have to do, you know, we have to connect with his plan in our life, and we are going to see that our life is going to be stabilized, that we are going to be successful. We are going to produce the result we were made for. And that is what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. You know, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plan of welfare, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So he has, you know, that's what we have to understand. If you understand that, then we start cooperating with his plan. We're not trying to do our own thing. You know, people want to do their own thing and trying to get successful. Well, they may get some physical success temporarily, but on the end, they're going to get damaged. We have to understand, okay, that God made us, designed us down to the molecular level in detail, for the plan that he had for us. He has a plan for each one of us. And the plan is not a bad plan. It's not bad things happening. It's for a good purpose. He has a good plan, and it's the best thing that can happen to us when we start seeing it, understanding it, and aligning ourselves with it. But, you know, it takes a step of faith to even believe that, like everything else. If you want to manifest the plan of God inside you, you have to believe that God planned it for you, and you have to believe, you have to listen, because the plan is not just one thing that you want, a decision. Plan is a continuous step, a decision that you have to take day by day. You can miss any decision, and then you're going to have to readjust yourself, and you have to start aligning yourself again. That alignment that we have to learn to do is critical. And you do that by connecting to the Word and the Holy Spirit and getting the direction so that you get corrected. And if you want your compass, you walk into your journey. Okay? So, be designed for us. The problem is, what is the problem? There is a problem. But there is a good thing and a bad thing. You see, he gave his creation, most of them anyway, free will. I mean, free will means that you can do, okay? It's a problem because, you know, if you disobey or get away from his plan, then things are not going to go well. But it's a good part of it is that if you follow the plan and you obey God, then you're going to be successful, you're going to do well, you're going to be blessed. And the degree in which you're going to get blessed is the degree in which you obey. So, you see, the free will is the way, you know, the goats are going to be separated from the sheep. He planned everything. Okay? So, if, you know, we talked about motivational gifts quite in detail. And I suggest, you know, that you just keep looking at that because that should help you to see how you navigate into this plan. Okay. What you were designed for so that you can follow your design instead of trying to be like somebody else. Okay. Now, yet people get all confused. So look around, talking about Christians, all the different theory, all the different doctrines, all the different theology, you know, they're all over the place, and most of them are wrong anyway. Why? Well, because that is the enemy plan. Okay. We don't need to find many scripture. Or you just go to John 10:10. The thieves come to kill and steal and destroy. I came to give you life, more abundantly. So when things don't go the right way, you know that it's not coming from God, it's coming from the thief. He's trying to steal what God wants to give you. That's what he wants to do. That's what he is so mad about, and that's what he doesn't like you to get blessed. So what he's going to do is plant seeds of doubt instead of faith. And the seeds of doubt, like as the very beginning, started with Adam and Eve. And they said, oh, you know, why did they do that mistake? We do that all the time. Don't blame them, because we are just the same. The only thing that we don't have impact on the whole world, you know, but we have impact on some people. Okay, so what I'm saying is the, you know, abundant life doesn't mean, you know, necessarily, you know, that we're going to be billionaire. Abundant life means that, you know, this is a spiritual dimension. You know, it's talking about the fact that you're going to be able to be fulfilled, satisfied, and fulfill the plan that God has for you. That's the abundant life is prepared for you. And it's always good. Cannot be bad. He doesn't do bad. Right? So, you know, but the point is to do that, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be obeying properly, to not be caught up by the lies of the enemy, because that's the way it works. It takes something, because evidently, see, the world is much easier to follow, you know, his lies than the very thing. Why? Because he operates on a level that he knows how to get us. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says something important. It says, that's why I say, you know, peace, our peace is the compass for us to follow. When we have peace, we know we are moving in the right direction. When there is no peace, stop and wait. Because probably you're getting in the wrong direction. Okay? Here says in, you know, Isaiah 26, this, I will keep you in, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in God and keep trusting in God, not getting caught up in, I have to do something here. Trying to do things yourself. Trying to do things yourself is gets you in trouble and gets you messed up. Okay. Patience is the big result. The following verse says, you know, 26, for trust in the Lord forever. For yeah, the Lord is everlasting, your everlasting strength. So this is where the strength, the wisdom, the ability, the you know, the knowledge to do the right thing is going to come. Now, you know, one of the things that God wants to do with us is actually to bring us into this place of peace. Okay, the space of strength. The two things go together. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, you know, talking about the way, you know, the fivefold ministry should operate. And that shows something very important. Till we come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, the objective is to make you grow, not to tell you what you want to hear. Is to wake you up so that you can progress in the walk toward, you know, fulfilling your plan and your destiny. But this is not what people want, as we want to see, especially today. And I'm not saying that, the Bible says that. Okay, let me continue here. Okay, to the full expression of Christ, verse 14, you know, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine. Okay. New book, or new theory, a new doctrine today, everybody run into it. What happens? 2-3 years after, you know, it just doesn't work. Everybody goes to another thing because it doesn't work. Bible works. Period. We don't need to change. It's never changed. There is not a tittle, there is not a comma, there is not a word in the Bible that has to be changed. Now, let me go back from Ephesians 4:14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That says why these things happen. Okay. Now, temptation to be tossed around, we know, doesn't come from God. I don't have the time to talk about that. Comes from the enemy. I mean, you know, James 1:13 says, you know, let no one say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. I think this is a good place to bring to a landing. Because there is a concept here that I want to explain and understand. Confusion comes from temptation. When you are tempted to go in the wrong direction, then you start vacillating and you end up being confused. Okay. So, God is not the author of confusion. The enemy is. He's the one putting, what did God say? You need. Did God say that this is wrong and this is right? So that you are there, start thinking, start, you know, moving from one thing to another, you are waving like a wave of the sea, don't expect to get anything from God. You cannot waver. You have to be stable. You have to know where you stand, and nothing is going to move you. After you have done everything, stand. Don't move. Don't let circumstances, you know, God spoke to me just before, you know, Easter, you know, don't look at the circumstances. Learn not to look at the circumstances because they change all the time and they mean nothing because the power of God is so powerful that in just 1 second they can change and be the way that when you couldn't see it before. Okay. So that's not the way you can reason or make it any. It's not logical. And it's not like God is not logical, but it's super logical. It's supernatural. Okay? So, let me say something here. Okay? Okay. The God is not the source of that. Now, I want to stress something because I give you this week to think about it. I'm going to read again James 1:14. Okay. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. I want to take the word desires there, which really often is, you know, some translation called lusts, and really is the wrong translation. The word there is epitomeia. Epitomeia, which actually means, you know, interpreted in the proper way, is to set your heart upon, is longing for something. That means this is, you know, you can long for something that is actually no sin. But even longing for something that is no sin is a temptation. That must be new for you today. And that is the truth. Because then, as soon as you start vacillating, see, you know it's finished. It's yours. You're not there wondering. Otherwise, you don't have any faith for it. So, you know, what is that thing? That is simply an emotion. See, probably is the best way to translate actually that those desires is emotions. They are really affected by emotions and enticed. can be positive or negative, doesn't matter. You know, you cannot hear the Holy Spirit if you want the answer, if you want a certain answer, and you are fixed on that and you don't listen. Or you have, you know, you have decided Holy Spirit is the one who's going to bring you the truth, and you have to take it the way it is. And if you are not here listening because you have already got the fixed ideas and it's not what you think it should be, you are going to be closed. So whatever emotions, when you have emotions operating you in a direction or another, you are not in the position to hear the Holy Spirit. And this is where a lot of people, including Pentecostals, are off. They get all excited. That's the Holy Spirit. Forget it. You can feel nothing. The Holy Spirit said, that. You do that. And few people feel, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? Okay. All right. So don't listen. You see? The fact that it's, you know, it's emotions, not lusts. Okay? That produces, that can make you enticed into other things because you are emotional and you are not capable to listen. The enemy is a deceiver. He's a liar, and he, you know, is the source of all confusion. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Doesn't bring confusion. Okay? He's the Spirit of truth. If the Spirit of truth, when you know the truth, you are stabilized. Because there is no room to move. Okay? And that's what makes all the difference. When we know the truth, abiding the truth, we are our disciples indeed. And the truth shall make us free. Okay. We don't need to do anything. We need to grasp on the truth, believe the truth, understand the truth. And one day we wake up and we are free. And we don't know where it's coming from. Why? Because it's not us. What we do is line up ourselves in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our faith, in the way God thinks. Then he does it. We cannot do it ourselves in our strength. Every time we can do it in our strength, we fail. And with that, I think that is a good point to stop. I did half of what I prepared for today, but that's okay. I always do that. Did you get anything today? Okay. It's closing prayer. I mean, if you don't apply this, I wasted my breath. Okay. And this is unfortunately what happens most of the time in church. Okay, people listen, they go where they listen, and we're going to talk more about that. Listen to listen, but nobody does anything with it. Then doesn't do any good. See, it is hard work. We have to do the application. I cannot do the application for you. I can share with you what God revealed to me. But then you have to do something with it, otherwise it stays, it's just stopped with you. It doesn't, it's not manifested even in you. Are you with me yet? Okay, praise the Lord. So let's pray that this week you give some thoughts, maybe you watch the video again, because maybe needed. You know, some of the ideas that I gave you today, they're not commonly spoken for about. And if you apply them, you're going to get results. Not because I said it, because I spoke the word. Okay? So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that if we hear it, if we allow it dwell in it, Lord, allow to minister to us so that our thoughts and our ideas and our judgment are affected, Lord, at the level of our heart, Lord. That we may be able to, Lord, connect with the truth. And the truth, Lord, may start affecting all our sense and our life and our situation and our victory, Lord. That we may know, Lord, that what your word says is true today as well as 2,000 years ago when it was written or even before. You do not change. You have done everything that needed to be done for the people to believe in the Messiah, in Jesus, in what he did. That he did everything, and the power that he released is good for everything, everywhere, everyone in this whole world. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can understand it, we can receive it, and we can start living by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do it.